Father, we thank you for your grace in our life. We thank you that you come to meet us in our time of need, in our time of provision, that you are there for us to cry out to you and to see you move in our lives. And tonight, Lord, as we just talk about trouble and what it means in our life, God, that, Lord, you would just burn something deep within us as you build in us a faith and a believing to overcome trouble, to overcome the things that come into our lives, God. And we just pray a blessing on every person here. Amen. When you plan a sermon, I don't know if you've ever preached, you try to avoid certain topics. Because when you plan a sermon, usually God works it out in your life. And as I was preparing for this sermon, and it's always good to have some illustrations. And the interesting thing is, I got this illustration a half hour before I left for this sermon, because God is never late. And as I was pulling out of my driveway to come here, I have a large trailer. I have a construction company. And I pulled out and kind of maneuvered things, and I went out, and my son is standing back there going, pointing here and pointing there, and I'm like, okay, something's wrong. He's not saying. I'm like, speak. And as I walked around the back of my trailer, my door was literally bent in half and barely hanging on. And I needed that trailer for tomorrow, and we have a house a little ways away, and I knew I had about 20 minutes to straighten out this door, and I knew it would take more than 20 minutes. He asked me, he says, how long would that take? Well, probably a couple hours. And so that was the beginning of trouble. And I want to encourage you tonight that we all face trouble. We all are going to walk through life and face times when trouble comes at us, when difficult things happen, and recognize that God is there in the midst of trouble. God is there to meet our need in the midst of trouble. And I entitled this sermon, Trouble's Stronghold, because sometimes trouble can become a stronghold in our life. Sometimes trouble can begin to define us. And I want to encourage you tonight, because I really believe that God does not want us to be defined by the trouble that we are in or the trouble we face. See, I could be defined by my bent trailer. And at that moment and through time, I'm sure many years before, it would have been much more frustrating than it was for me. And I would have reacted much differently. But I knew that one way or the other, we were going to get through this, and we were going to get here on time. And so, as I was praying about this, and I don't know, God kind of speaks to me. I walk among very spiritual men, Pastor Mark and women, Pastor Jen and Pastor Ron, who's not here. And I don't know if they walk through the same kind of trouble, but it's kind of just in my face sometimes. And God, you know, is very blatant to me. But I was driving away from church, and I saw this sticker that was on the back of a car. And as I was listening to Pastor Mark this morning, and he had all these great spiritual illustrations and quotes. And I had this quote, and I was like, don't even make a slide. I told him, don't put the slide, because mine wasn't very spiritual. It's apparently by John Wayne. I don't know. The guy, the truck driver that I read it off of said it was quoted by John Wayne. But it said, and John Wayne was before my time, even believe it or not, but life, he said, has trouble. And life has more trouble when you're stupid. I thought, that's a very profound statement. And in very much, it's very true. There are things in our lives that sometimes we do that create the trouble in our life. And so to tell you the rest of the story, I have a safety program that I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars in my company that teach me to walk around my vehicle before I move it. It's written. It's in the Word. It's written. You walk around your vehicle so you make sure everything is intact and in place. Well, I didn't do that because it's Sunday and I'm not working. And just as I was about to drive, there was a still small voice that said, maybe you should check the little door. And it was very small and very faint. But I thought, well, that's maybe when I have to go on the highway, not just to move 10 feet. So I ignored the still small voice. And the situation was this, that my one door that was open was wrapped around this big tank thing we have, and it caught that and ripped that, threw it into my shed, ripped the door almost off, dug a hole in my grass, and caused me a bit of stress before I had to preach. Sometimes the trouble we bring is from our own stupidity. How many of you know? But God can still get us through those troubling times. Proverbs 19 and verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel," or in NIV it says, "his purpose, that will stand." That we can make many plans and we can be very smart in our own eyes and do many things, but it's ultimately the Lord's counsel that will stand. It's ultimately the Lord's counsel that carries us through those times of trouble. There is a theory that floats out there in amongst churches that says that everything God plans and God does. That God, and I don't want to mess with your theology tonight, but there are certain things I think that happen in life that maybe weren't God's ultimate plan for us. When we make silly mistakes, sometimes that isn't God's ultimate plan. When we walk in sin, I don't believe that's God's ultimate plan. That I believe that we have the ability to reject sometimes the will of God in our lives. And I'm going to back that up with scripture if you don't believe me. Luke 7 and verse 30 says, "The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God." Isn't that interesting? They rejected the will of God for their life. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. They were meant to be baptized by John the Baptist. And they chose not to walk in the will of God. And I believe there's the perfect will of God for our life, and there's the allowed will of God for our life, and I believe there's the ultimate will of God, that God gets his things done in spite of us. And I want to be the one who's there and ready to walk in the will of God, and I believe you are too. And so part of what these lessons in life are is to get us walking in the will of God, that perfect will of God for our life. And I believe that we can reject the will of God. We can turn our back on God. That God gives us that ability to turn from him. And I don't think ultimately his will was for that any man would not be saved. But we can reject God. And sometimes often the enemy comes to steal ground from us. The enemy will come to steal our joy, to steal our life at times. I don't know that that's the perfect will of God. I think sometimes that's an opportunity for us to walk in the perfect will of God, to take a step of faith, to bring down strongholds, that we are called to walk in the fullness of what he has set us into. That he is one who overcomes. And I want to encourage you tonight because I think we are called to be overcomers. But how do you know if you're going to overcome something, you have to get through the something? That usually to overcome something, there's an obstacle in the way. Well, trouble in our lives is often the obstacle to get us from where we are to where we're going to be. To be overcomers. I want to encourage you because in Revelation, when all, and this is an amazing thing, but all the letters to the churches in the end talk about overcomers. Revelation 2 and verse 7, it says, "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life," to the church of Smyrna. Revelation 2:11, "He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and the stone, and on the stone a new name." To the church of Thyatira, "He who overcomes, he keeps my work until the end. To him I will give power over the nations." To the church of Sardis, "To him who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life." To the church of Philadelphia, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." To the church of Laodicea, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne." How many of you believe that God is writing to his church to be overcomers? That we are not called to be those who are held back, to be stuck in trouble, to be stuck in obstacles. And I believe, and tonight I hope I can just maybe open up a crack in our life as we begin to learn to overcome obstacles. Because for so often, we can be defined by the obstacle that is in front of us. We can allow it to define us. We can allow it to shape our mind and our thoughts and our sleep and all those things. And God is saying, no, I want you to overcome. Throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, there are stories of overcomers, of those who stepped out in faith and believed God in the midst of trouble. In the midst of the obstacle, they stepped out and they believed. Hebrews 11 writes a whole chapter on men of faith and women of faith who rose above the trouble that was before them, who learned to break down the stronghold of trouble. Tonight I'm going to give you three steps to overcoming trouble strongholds. How many of you know when you're first married and you have a honeymoon, it's usually not where the difficulty starts? And often when we're first saved, and maybe you're a brand new Christian, and things are just falling into place, and then all of a sudden an obstacle comes, a temptation comes, something comes, and there's trouble. And that trouble is a testing time, and just like in marriage, it's a testing time. How are we going to work through this thing? And if we go into marriage thinking it's all a honeymoon, I know I have some that are preparing for marriage in my own family, the honeymoon does end. And life begins. But the memories you have, I can remotely remember my honeymoon, but I can remember a lifetime of walking through and battling through struggles and battling through trouble with my wife beside me because of the battles we walked through and the overcoming and the joy of the Lord and what God worked us through. That the honeymoon was just the beginning. Your salvation is the beginning of life, of your life. But you have a life in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and walking in God that will allow you to come and be an overcomer, and it will define who you are. Not the trouble you face, but what God carried you through. So three steps to overcoming trouble. Number one, face the adversity. How many of you, when you were a young child, you were told to run? Now, running is okay at times, but there's times when we need to face the adversity. We need to own up to the adversity. See, I could have come up here and told you about my trouble and blamed my son for not closing the door. It was actually a good teaching moment. I don't think he's in here, my little son. Because he came to me and he says, "Boy, I thought I should have closed that door when I went inside." I says, "This is a lesson to listen to the Holy Spirit." He's like, "That was the Holy Spirit?" And so here we go. One bit of trouble teaching two people of God to listen to the Holy Spirit. Isn't it awesome? And that's how simple it is sometimes. There's been so many checks and balances. I'm so old, I should know better by now. But somehow we still make mistakes. We still miss those things. But it's important to face adversity. I could come up here and blame my son. Say, he should have closed that door. Because he probably should have. But yet, I'm responsible for that vehicle. And there's many times when trouble will come and our first thing is to flee or to blame somebody else. I know no one in here does that, but. Right? We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to have, you know, we want to, there's always an excuse. And too often in life we make excuses rather than facing adversity. Even facing our own sin. There's times in our lives when we're convicted of sin and our first response is to hide or make excuses. And yet God says, confess your sin. I'm faithful and just to forgive your sin. And so the number one point in overcoming trouble and overcoming temptation is to face adversity. Proverbs 24 and verse 30 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's an interesting scripture. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small, or your strength is limited. And I would encourage you, in the day of adversity, when trouble is coming, strengthen yourselves. I've been watching with my son, and you know, as an older father to a younger son, I'm trying to equate. So we're watching American Ninja Warriors. Used to be American Ninja Turtles. American Ninja Warriors do these crazy stunts, and they're super buff, and they just, you know, they go through this course, and they swing, and they climb, and they're tough, and they do crazy stuff. And it's interesting how I can critique it sitting on my couch. Like, that guy should have made that. And many times in life, we can sit back and critique someone else's adversity, yet we're not walking. Some of these guys train year-long for this one event. And if they fail, if they slip, if they lose one little grip, they're done for the year. They don't get to come back till next year. They have trained. There was a 70-year-old guy jumping through these obstacles. He was the oldest guy ever to make it through one thing, the first thing. But he was in shape. He had trained. He had planned. He knew that there was going to be obstacles in his way to get to the prize. And the same thing in our life. I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe you're brand new to Christianity. Trouble will come. Train for it. Be in the Word. The Word gives us our training. The Word gives us our training for the adversity that comes. Jesus faced adversity. How many of you know that? He died for our sin. That's a bit of adversity. Because there was a goal that was set before him. Paul says, buffet your body and make it your slave. Be trained. There is a training that we all need to face, and part of it is facing the adversity that's coming. Accept that there will be adversity. It's an interesting story, many of you know, in David's career as he gathered, coming back to Jerusalem in 1 Samuel 22. And it says, David therefore departed and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented, gathered to him. How many of you know that could be the biggest pity party ever known to man? Here's David, he's defeated, he's been kicked out. All these people are in debt and distress, and it is a bad situation. They're stuck in a cave. And he became captain over them. How many of you are picking a team would pick that as your team? But yet God picks us out of our trouble, out of our distress, out of our debt, out of all those things. He says, I'm building a team. I'm putting captains in this team. I'm drawing you together. And the interesting thing is a few short chapters later, all of a sudden it's talking about David's mighty men. And I never made the correlation till a few years back that those mighty men that walked with God probably started as those that were indebted and distressed. That there was a period of time where they began to learn and train and be trained by a warrior. And they began to understand how to break through the obstacles of life, not to be defined by them. Not to be defined by their indebtedness, not to be defined by their depression, not to be defined by the things that had held them back. Psalm 27 and verse 14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The coward runs from trouble. The overcomer faces it. Abraham in Romans 4 and verse 20 says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. in the midst of your trouble. Think about Abraham. He's an old dude with an old wife. And all he's got is the promise of God. But he held on to the promise. He had a lot of trouble. He was supposed to have a generation greater than the sands of the seashore. And he tried to do it on his own, and then it all came down to, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. And he becomes the father of faith. He had to face the adversity before he could ever overcome it. Those unwilling to face trouble are like seeds sown on rocky ground in Mark 4 and verse 16. It says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but yet they have no root in themselves. And so they endure only for a time, and afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. See, we can take the word of God and receive it immediately. And it looks amazing, but there's time when that gets tested out and that gets tried out. And through the midst of trouble, through the midst of seasons of that, is when that word of the Lord is tested. Am I going to believe God? Am I going to trust God? Am I going to face this adversity? Or am I going to run? Trouble really does reveal our hearts. How do you know when the sun is shining and things are wonderful? It's easy to have a great heart. It's easy to be passionate. But when trouble comes, and so I want to encourage you, because maybe you're not in trouble right now, but maybe you are. I want to encourage you that God is working something in you that is far greater than you even understand. There is a greater glory laying ahead. Think of through Scripture how many people went through lion's dens and through adversity and through all these things to come out the other side, and all of a sudden it was revealed the will of God. But in the midst of the adversity, in the midst of the trouble, there was no revelation. There was faith. There was faith. I want to encourage you tonight that God wants to take you through. If you will face it, if you will, and I don't want you to embrace adversity. We're not looking for trouble. Don't be the one looking for trouble. It will find you. But if it has found you, face it. Accept it. Trust God through it. Proverbs 25 and verse 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. It's a great scripture. It's painful and very unstable. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble. God is wanting to build faithfulness. That question that rises up, will he find faith on the earth? He is trying to build faithfulness in a people, in a church, in a body, in a generation. That when trouble comes, there isn't instability. We're not just running here and there when trouble comes, but we're embracing it and facing it and believing God for something great. It is easy to run. It is easy to blame someone else. But are you going to press through? Being faithful in a time of trouble. What a great attribute. The second part to overcoming trouble's stronghold is to make a change. I might need some water there, Mitch. And the first thing we do to make a change is to look at our own heart. When you face trouble, don't just blame everyone else. but look to yourself. Maybe you were stupid and you created some trouble. Is there something in me that needs to change? We can't change others, we can't change circumstances, but we can change us. And change is a choice. You can make a choice to change. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you that you are just that way. You can make a choice to change. Negative choices produce negative change. Romans 1 and 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppress the truth, deny the truth, make a negative choice, and you'll make a negative change. Romans 1 and 25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Because of the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. You can change a nation through your righteous deeds, your righteous acts. And so it's important for us to make positive change. Positive change comes from positive choices. We can hinder the Holy Spirit or we can promote the Holy Spirit, as it were, in our lives. Am I running from the Holy Spirit or am I running to the Holy Spirit? Am I allowing the Word of God to speak into my life and to make change in my life, or am I running away from it? Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world. Make a change. Your sinful nature is conformed to this world. To make a change means I'm going to repent and turn around and follow God. That's what repentance is. We confess our sin and we repent and turn. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that interesting? You can prove the acceptable, perfect will of God through a good choice. Allow the will of God to work in my life. I can stand against the worldly influence. Romans 12 and 21 says, do not be overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. This is how we overcome. This is how we make a change. We bring our thoughts captive. How many have many thoughts? Right? There are thoughts flying all over this room. It's like TV waves. And the thought comes in and it's just like randomly not good. Well, God has given you the power to take that thought and reject it. You don't have to believe you're a dirty, rotten sinner that can never overcome. In Christ, you are more than conquerors. Amen? Make a change. Make a decision. I'm not going to walk this way anymore. I'm not going to be dumb and not walk around my vehicle ever again. Until next week, probably, but I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to make a change. That's why gray hair is like a crown. Because there's so much experience there, you're no longer stupid. Some of us aren't as gray as others. We have a few more lessons to learn. But But I want to encourage you tonight because I believe that we can be overcomers, that you can change. God in Christ can change you as you allow Him to speak into your life, as you allow to be led by the Holy Spirit. Some people are so deaf to the Holy Spirit, they would have just kept driving down the highway and all their stuff would be all over the highway. At least there was a still small voice. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. Listen to that little check in your spirit. Oh, is it God? Is it French fries? Is it? Just trust God. He'll work it out. Fear the Lord and not the enemy. Too many Christians are crippled by the fear of the enemy. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may camp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." Proverbs 14 and 26 says, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of death." You don't want to fear the enemy? Fear God. Get the Word of God in you. God is bigger than any enemy. He will overcome. And as we allow the fear of the Lord, see, so often we don't have a healthy fear of the Lord. And we're more afraid of the enemy who goes around like a roaring lion than the Lion of Judah, who has overcome. Psalm 50 and verse 22 says, "Now consider this, you who forget God." God doesn't pull punches, "lest I tear you in pieces." How many know if we really read that, it would put the fear of God in us, but, "and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright." Isn't that interesting? "To him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God." That's interesting. That doesn't mean we have to be righteous, but we need to order our conduct aright with Him and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and all of a sudden He will show the salvation of God. If we're in the midst of a situation, don't use your brain, use the Word. Don't rely on your emotions. They will fail you. Rely on the Holy Spirit. And so I would encourage you as you walk through this path and as you see God move and as you make a change in your life, that you would order your way aright in the midst of trouble. And finally, point three is, align your way with the Lord. And as I close, Mark, you can come so I finish on time. The interesting thing is that Psalm 50, and it's pretty simple math, so Psalm 51 follows Psalm 50. And that scripture at the end of Psalm 50 says, "To him who orders his conduct aright," rolls right into Psalm 51, which is David's confession before the Lord. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your love and kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." You want to order your way aright? Confess your sin to the Lord. Come humbly before Him. "For I acknowledge," or, "wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. And against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. This Psalm 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. There are times in this life when you are going to fall. You're going to do something stupid. You're going to fall into trouble. And at those moments, at that time, we come again to God. And we come, it says, and we can come boldly to the throne room of grace. We can confess our sin to God and say, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. Set your way aright again. Set that path again. Because God is wanting to work in you something so great. It's better, I believe, for you to make a bad decision than no decision. And God is taking you from glory to glory. He's taking you and changing you and moving you. And tonight I want to encourage you as we close, as we learn to overcome troubled stronghold in our lives, that we always have the opportunity to come to God with that confession, saying, God, forgive me. And he takes us right back and says, okay, here we go again. Back into training, back into the work of the Lord. He doesn't abandon his children. And so as we close, I would just encourage you, the altar is open. Maybe you're in the midst of a lot of trouble. You need someone to come around you and just pray for you. And maybe it just happened your way. Maybe you're in the midst of trouble because you're stupid. You're not stupid. You made a stupid decision. And you need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Because I made a mistake. And maybe tonight you're needing to come and say, Lord, I need you to just cleanse me, to set things aright in my life. I need to get my walk back with you. I need to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been running from trouble. You're so afraid of it. The enemy's got you so tied up. And tonight, you need to just be delivered from a stronghold of trouble. You've been defined by the trouble that you've faced. I want to encourage you, let's all stand. And as Mark just leads us, come to the altar. There'll be those to pray for you, to set you free tonight. Because I believe that we are all called to be overcomers, to be an army of God that can face trouble and not run, but walk by faith.